Today we pick up on the passage of Romans chapter 9, 15 through 18. You may title the message, While the Message Surrounds Pharaoh's Encounter with God. The message also is planned to give us a better understanding in dealing with God. The lesson will deal with human disobedience and its consequences. The message will address the subject of man contending with God, how unwise that is. The message will touch on points such as man wanting to have his own way spiritually, and that never works. So the lesson will cover much more than just mere God and Pharaoh. Well, the lesson is really about God. When I present the first part of this lesson last week, it was to give you a background so that when we enter this week, there are certain things that we would not have any need. So even if they are mentioned, any need to go in any detail. Now, if you do not study God's word carefully, any of us, any person, anywhere, it becomes easy to read into God's word things that it never says and that it didn't intend to say. Let me repeat. If you do not study God's word carefully, it becomes easy to read into the scripture things it does not say, and things it did not even imply. Illustration: that the Holy Spirit is a being that makes men and women act disorderly. That the Holy Spirit throw people on the ground. That the Holy Spirit make it where sometimes two or three people have to go and hold a brother or a sister. All of that is what men read into the scripture. But there is nowhere in the 66 books of the Bible that ever even implies that the Holy Spirit make people act like that. Nowhere. And if you're here and didn't know, we give you a chance to question us and to seek clarification on anything preached from this pulpit. If you are a visitor, at the end of the lesson, we'll be telling you how can the many avenues we give you to question us, to ask for a better understanding. Dancing as a part of New Testament worship. Yes, dancing. Human being attached the word holy to the dancing. But that is another example that there is nowhere in 27 books of the New Testament that ever even imply that dancing is a part of spiritual worship. Nowhere. Now, if you do dancing as an exercise or whatever, the Bible touches on that. The Bible says, bodily profited little. Of course, bodily exercise there does not, is not targeting dancing. In the time when the New Testament was being written in the Roman Empire, you have, well, most of us hear about the gladiators who had to put in hours and hours of exercise to get their bodies to what they wanted it. But even that passage, that bodily exercise profit little, would tell you that it does not have any merit in spiritual worship. What is the point? That if you do not read God's word carefully, you can read into it things that it never intended to say and didn't say. Romans 9:14 following again. Read.
What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God?
What shall we say then? Is God unrighteous?
God forbid. Wait,
what is in consideration here? What is in consideration here is God's rejection of the Jews and his acceptance of the Gentile into Christianity. That is what is under consideration here. And Paul anticipated the objection of the Israelite. They want to say, Paul, you are wrong. Because if you are telling us Jews that God rejected the Jew, or so many of the Jews, and accepted the Gentile, you are implying that God is unrighteous. So Paul anticipated their objection and raised it. What shall we say then? Is God unrighteous?
God forbid.
God forbid. You must not even think that. Read.
For he saith unto
God said to Moses,
I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
That is, it is God's divine prerogative to dispense his mercy as he sees fit. No human being has any right to imply that because God acted in ways that I didn't like or you didn't like, you have no right to imply unrighteousness in God. Read on.
And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Read on.
So then it is not of him that willeth.
That's right.
Nor of him that runneth.
Uh-huh.
But of God that sheweth mercy. For the scripture saith unto
Pharaoh. For the scripture saith.
Unto Pharaoh.
Unto Pharaoh.
Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee.
Read that verse again.
Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee.
Could you read it for me again?
For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh.
The scripture saith, that is, God said to Pharaoh.
Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew.
I may just drop more correctly, more appropriately translated is, for this reason I make thee to stand. That is from the original language, Greek or Hebrew, and that is in more keeping with the old incident. For this reason I make thee to stand, meaning I could have destroyed you in all of the happenings when I'm sending these plagues to help bring you to your senses. But I still kept you alive for my own purpose. I was about to ask you to read it again, but wait, brother, may I? In this text, may I? In this text, Paul is discussing, one, the sovereignty of God. Are we there? He's discussing the fact that God, being God, has the right to carry out his purpose and exercise his mercy or judgment purely on God's own determination, not on any demand that man makes on God. In the passage, Paul is also, before these verses and after these verses, looking on the subject of human disobedience and its result. He's looking on man feeling that when the Almighty God gives a directive, if sinful man doesn't like it, he can do his own thing. That is being discussed. That is when man feels that he can contend with God. In this passage being discussed is when man also finds himself in disagreement with God and push God's plan to save us one side, and man invents his own plan. Keep in mind, keep in mind that what we call chapter 9, where we are now, go on to chapter 10, chapter 11, the whole argument continues. So when he reaches chapter 10, he says, my heart's desire. He had already made his argument that God rejected majority of the Israelite. Brother Mitchell, application to us. If you continue to resist God's will, he will reject you. That's right. So in chapter 10 and verse 1 and 2, my brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God that Israel might be saved. Wait. Why that, Brother Mitchell? Because he didn't want his audience that he has been discussing with way back, culminating in chapter 9, where we are, chapter 10, chapter 11. He didn't want them to think that he disliked his own people, the Jews, or that he had something against the Jews. He was just telling them what the divine facts were. So lest they draw the wrong conclusion, he said, my desire is for Israel that they might be saved, because I bear them record that they have a zeal. Yes, they want to serve God, but they don't want to do it according to enlightenment. That is according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Wait, wait. God has a way to make every man righteous. And you never, you please make the mistake that he has a Baptist way, a Roman Catholic way, a Seventh-day Adventist way. There is no such thing in God's plan. There is one way, and that is Jesus' way. And you better find it and submit to it. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, that's the same thing today. And going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. They have not submitted themselves to God's plan of salvation according to the gospel. In presenting his argument, Paul appealed to Exodus 9:16. Read it. I know it was read a while ago, but read it again. It was read a while ago, not from Exodus, but from Romans. Let us hear it, brother.
And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to shew in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth.
But brothers and sisters, because we are going to spend some time on what God did not say in this verse. And we are going to write along the show what we have read into the verse. Read it again from Exodus.
And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to shew in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth.
Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, look here, note this. It is very important that we note what, how should I put it? What God did not say in this verse. And know exactly what he said. That is when Paul repeated in the book of Romans 9 that we have just left from. Note this. God did not say to Pharaoh that he raised Pharaoh up to destroy him and to drown him and his army in the Red Sea. Could you go over that, Brother Mitchell? You lost me. Well, let me find you now. God, in what the brother has just read, that is Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, and Romans chapter 9, and verse 16. Neither God nor Paul repeating it, they did not say that God raised up Pharaoh or make him to stand so that he, God, may destroy Pharaoh and destroy his army in the Red Sea. Nothing like that is implied in the verse. We have read that. Let me tell you what we have done with this passage. Because the end result of God's Pharaoh encounter was the ultimate destruction of Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. And so many of the Egyptians, we read into verse like this, that when God said, "For this cause I raise you up and make you to stand," we are saying that when God spoke those words to Pharaoh, he was there telling Pharaoh, "I bring you about that I may destroy you and your army and your people." Nothing like that is implied or said. We are just getting started, so follow me. God, as the text says, raised up Pharaoh for the purpose of showing his power and having his name established throughout the earth. We will talk a little more about that. That's what the passage says. Destroying Pharaoh and the Egyptian army and so many thousands of the Egyptian in the Red Sea, that is not in the text. It was not implied. Again, we tied the two, what God said and the destruction of Pharaoh. We tied them and assume that's what God was saying when he said, "For this cause I raise you up." No, I raise you up for two reasons: to show my power in you and to publish my name throughout the world. Just quickly, during the 19th dynasty of the Egyptian successive government, the 19th dynasty took place about 1300 BC under Ramesses II. It was one of the great period of the Egyptian nation. Under Ramesses II, great monuments were built, including the pyramids of Egypt that is still standing today. Are we there? Egyptian architects were the first to erect monumental stone structure, including the pyramid. Egypt was the first nation to work out, the first nation, the 365 day year. Egypt was the first to our calendar today in the Western world is based on what Egypt worked. And how Egypt worked this up is the Nile River did destruction every year because it was flooded during the rainy season. And the Egyptian had to come up with ways to plan how to deal with the destruction of the Nile. It was out of that that the mathematician and the agriculturist and the what worked out that the year had 365 days. It was the Egyptian who worked that out. Not only that, the Egyptian, in fact, this time not the Egyptian only, but Pharaoh's, the pride of the Pharaoh. You see, at this time, Egypt was, if not the dominant power in the world, it was probably either the first, stand at top, or the second, or so. At this time, Pharaoh's pride, arrogance, and resistance and disobedience was foreseen by God. Brother Mitchell, you know, you are saying this, but the Bible says many times in Exodus and we're that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Yes. What we'll be dealing with in this lesson is to show that God foresee and foreknew and therefore foretell. Brother Mitchell, go over that. God foresaw. God foreknew what he foresaw, the nature person Pharaoh was. What did he foreknew? That means know ahead of time the kind of person our king Pharaoh would be. He would be proud, arrogant, and think that he's God. All this before Pharaoh even come on the scene. So God, for knowledge and seeing ahead, caused God to foretell or foretold. T-O-L-D, foretold, tell ahead of time that he would harden Pharaoh. Why? Because ahead of time he knew that Pharaoh would want to resist him and compete with him. So he could tell ahead of time, I'm going to harden him. It was not impulsive on God's side, God's hand. The Almighty God was looking on the character that Pharaoh would be, that Pharaoh's arrogance and pride. In fact, in a passage, I don't want to go there, in a passage in Daniel, if I tell you the chapter, you're going to be there searching your Bible and not looking at it. So let me not even tell you this passage. Yeah. In a passage in Daniel, the Pharaoh said they are the one who created the Nile. The river Nile is one of the great rivers of the world. Not only that, Egypt prosperity throughout the ages was dependent on the Nile. Their agricultural system produced much because they have rivers branching off from the Nile to help with the flood system that the Nile in the ancient world created. And so much that nation depended on the Nile River that Pharaoh said, I created the Nile. No, a God created the Nile. The river is a work of nature that belonged to God. But it shows how the Egyptian were. And God felt that this great nation is the one that I need to use to let my name be published throughout the world. Are we there? Pharaoh's pride caused him to set himself against God's will. God saw this. God allowed it and helped Pharaoh along his desire. What do you mean, help Pharaoh? When God saw the arrogance that this man would portray, God decided, you know what? I'm going to help him with that characteristic that he doesn't want to change, that he arrogantly want to enhance, his pride and his arrogance. I'm going to help him to be even more proud and be more arrogant. Because the prouder he is the more he's going to give me chance to show that I am an awesome God. And God, this is in keeping with God's will. Because you see, watch here. God wanted the surrounding nation to get to know that there is an awesome God that stands above all the other gods. We are always mixing up things. Just like the people in the ancient world felt like, all God I see am God. And the Egyptian, they have so many gods. Even my family have his own God. And they would have God for their agricultural product. They would have God for their animal. That's right. All God. I see him where you see people mix it up with the church. All church, I see him church. Where you get that from? So God wanted not just the Egyptian, but the surrounding Gentile nation to know that Israel God stand or stood above all other gods. Oh Lord, I am resisting into one or two passages because I want to move on. But just run to Exodus 15, 14 and 16 and Deuteronomy 2, 25. Yes, the Almighty God realized that the pride, the arrogance, the disobedience of Pharaoh would give the Almighty God a chance and the avenue. Are we there? To display God's power and awesomeness. And that all surrounding nations, because this power would be displayed in Egypt against the Pharaoh, such a great nation, all the surrounding nations would hear about it. Whoa, let me hear it. Exodus chapter 15, 14 and 15.
The people shall hear and be afraid.
Yep. Brother Webb, a lot of people didn't hear that. This is one of God's objectives. Wait, watch here now. Watch here. Are you watching? The Almighty God was making preparation for his people, the Israelites, to go through on their way to the promised land, to go through these different nations, somewhat unmolested. Wait, they were molested. But the people who molested them did it with apprehension. Most of the nation that fought against Israel was afraid of Israel. In fact, on one occasion, one of them becomes so much afraid that he calls all the other nations around, say, come and join me. They hear about Israel God. God wanted that. Hear God now.
The people shall hear and be afraid.
The people here mean the nation shall hear. That is what I have done to the great Egypt. And nation shall be afraid. Read on.
sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina.
In Palestine, what shall take hold of them?
Sorrow.
Sorrow. Read on.
Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling,
shall be, trembling,
shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away.
You hear? This is God's intent. This was to help make it possible for Israel to pass through. They were defeated even before Israel reached them. Fear. You know that fear is an handicap? That's right. So God was handicapping them.
Fear and dread shall fall upon them.
Mm-hmm.
By the greatness of thine arm shall they be as still as a stone.
You hear? You are in Deuteronomy.
No, that's verse 16.
Verse 16. You finished 16?
Till thy people pass over, O Lord.
You all got it now? You see the ultimate objective? Till thy people, that is the Israelite, pass over and pass through. So God used Pharaoh to publish his name abroad. Watch here now, brothers and sisters. Watch here now. Very important. Important. Very important. Let me hear. Verse 16 again, quick.
So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy.
Do I want verse 15, the part where Pharaoh comes in?
Verse 17.
17.
For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth.
Brothers and sisters, so many times over the years, many people have read in this that God was forecasting how he's going to destroy the Egyptian Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. No. Watch here now. For this cause, I make you to stand or raise you up. I want your attention here now. Just how God would do it is not stated. God going to use Pharaoh and or the Egyptian nation to glorify himself and publish his name abroad. How God would do it, how this purpose of God would be fulfilled in Pharaoh at the time God spoke to Pharaoh, still remain in the free will of Pharaoh. P-H-A-R-A-O-H. It's still, and this is what you need to keep in mind. When the Almighty God said, for this reason, what reason? To
that I might show my power in thee.
That I may show how awesome a God I am, and that my name would become known throughout the world. Now that is God's purpose. There is nothing here that tells that God have to kill Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea to carry this out. So far, how it would be carried out, it was in Pharaoh's free will. This is important for us to get. Because we read into the passage that it's by destroying the Egyptian army in the Red Sea that this will... No! It still remain in the free will agency of Pharaoh's free will. Wait. To choose. It was up to Pharaoh to choose whether by his own submission to the will of God or by his rebellion against it. Brother Michel, I didn't get that. When the Almighty God announced to Pharaoh that he's going to use him or the Egyptian nation to show the awesome, the powerful God that he is, and that he's going to use Pharaoh and the Egyptian nation to show and to publish his name throughout the world, the Almighty God left it in Pharaoh's free will agency to determine whether God would do that with Pharaoh resisting his will, or whether God would do that with Pharaoh submitting to God's will. Anyway, it's like God is saying, Pharaoh, you choose how you like it. That's right. You choose how you will have it. But know this, I'm going to use you to show my power and to get my name advertised throughout the surrounding nation. I'm leaving it to you, Pharaoh. It is in your hand. It is in your free will agency to tell me how you like it, with the icing on top or with paper on it. That's right. You see, as I've said, what I'm pointing out and must keep in mind, because this will help us to read about, is this business where we read into it because we have seen the end result. No, it was Pharaoh who put it in God to determine what the end result would be. Oh Lord, why can't I stand, help the clock to stand still? Either way, God's purpose would be realized. Pharaoh had the free will choice of obeying or not obeying God's command. However, the Almighty God had purposed that either way, Pharaoh would be used to demonstrate God's power and to publish God's name throughout the world. Either way. But I leave it to you, Pharaoh, to tell me how it will be done. Pharaoh, do you want it the easy way? Or do you want it the hard way? Brothers and sisters, do you know that that has a lot of lesson for us? May I? The choice of how this God's purpose would be accomplished was in Pharaoh's hand. God can deal with us, as he did then, on the basis of mercy, patience, kindness, or God can deal with us on the basis of judgment, severity, or opposition. Are we there? we sometimes put in God's hand how he deals with us. For example, the Bible says that God resists the proud. Well, how comes God take it up to contend with this man or woman? Because of the person's attitude. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It's the same thing with Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the one, brothers and sisters, Pharaoh could have chosen to yield to God's will. That was in the man's free will agency. God did not interfere with that. What he didn't interfere, the king's free will agency. It was up to Pharaoh to choose whether he would stand against God and show that he's a greater God, or it was up to Pharaoh to yield to the will of God. Whatever direction Pharaoh took, God would still use him to publish his name and power. Pharaoh chose the way of arrogance, pride, and disobedience. And God, sisters, there is a nation, but we don't have the time now because, I don't want to overfeed you. But I have in mind, and I'll have to get back to this lesson. I want to spend a little more time on the foreknowledge of God, the foreseeing power of God, and therefore the foretelling of God. And this is why a lot of time we think because God foretold something before it happened, God is the one who caused it to happen. No. God, only because he's God, saw that it's going to happen and tell us ahead of time. Sometimes it thinks that Satan is going to cause a person to do or a nation to do. I want to spend a little more time, and I want to spend a little more time showing you how God dealt here with the Egyptian as we are looking, and how he dealt with another king and another nation along the same line. But watch here, that other king and other nation chose the way of humility and obedience. And the result was different. But I don't have time this morning. I hope I can get to it, even to the point where, if it's a morning, I get to it where I'll preach a 30-minute sermon. That will be a sermon. Brother Mitchell preaching for 30 minutes. But it's just about that time I needed, and time ran out. There's quite a few things. I want to show you how this business comes in. When God said to Paul, you can't kick against the pricks, that will come in. I want to also kick in also that God's word never return unto him empty. That is directly applicable here, but we don't have time. That God's word has an automatic built-in alternative. We must keep that in mind. In fact, if you are here today and if you are not a child of God, while I'm not going to expand on it now, but let me just illustrate it. God's word has an automatic built-in alternative. Watch here now. When God commands to carry out his will, when his will is carried out, there are blessings that follow. When you or I refuse to carry out his will, negative consequence follow, whether the Bible state it or not. For example, I am at Mark 16:16, just quoting, just illustrating. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Wait, the passage doesn't end. It continues. He that believeth not shall be damned or be condemned. Brothers and sisters, even if the text stop at he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, there is a built-in automatic alternative that if you do not believe and baptize, something terrible follows. That is built in the word. It so happened that in Mark 16:16, it is stated, they will be condemned or be damned. But even when the Bible failed to give us the alternative is still there. I hope to say a little more about this when I pick up on this lesson to compare Pharaoh and Egypt with this other nation, receiving almost the same instruction to carry out God's will. We have seen what Pharaoh did. He put himself up against God. Pride, arrogance, disobedience. Brothers and sisters, we cannot live lives of disobedience and don't suffer the consequences. We cannot set up ourselves to oppose God, to mock God's will, to choose our own way against God's will, and progress with God. We cannot do that. It is always wise to yield to the will of God. Pharaoh and the Egyptian learned that the hard way. Never forget, God did not say that I raise you up to destroy your army in the no. God gave Pharaoh the option, and Pharaoh gave God the option to deal with Pharaoh the hard way. Will you yield to God's will this morning? Because when you yield to God's will, it's always wise. It's always wise to yield to God's will. We're going to stand and sing a song of invitation. The song is sung or will be sung to the honor and glory of God. But it is the song whereby you have the opportunity to come and give your life to Jesus Christ. Remember, yield to the will of God, always wise and sensible. Don't put up opposition. Jesus Christ asks that you believe in him. First, that you accept your sinful condition. That's right. We're not yet wondering, are you a sinner? We know you're a sinner. Whatever you may say, God is always right. All sin is done against God. God says you are a sinner, and the sooner you accept that, it is the better for you. You're a sinner. Jesus Christ is the only answer. And do you know what? Jesus Christ has some specific condition that you must meet or follow in order for him to deal with your sin. It includes being taught the truth. It includes you believing that Christ is God's Son, your Savior. It includes you repenting of your sin, turn from wrong to right, from ungodliness to righteousness, from disobedience to obedience. It includes confessing your faith, your belief in Christ, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin. What getting baptized have to do with it, preacher? Your sins will never be dealt with by Jesus Christ outside of baptism. And right now, you can come and give your life to Jesus Christ. We are here to help you. Jesus Christ is standing ready to welcome you as we stand.